Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
If you've ever worked in an office, you know the drill. Dirty cups left in the sink, smelly lunch at the desk, or someone just gawking at your computer screen when they really shouldn't be. They're fairly familiar scenarios in the workplace, but can those repeated incidents of irritating behaviour cause lasting damage? And to talk more about this, I'm joined in the studio by barrister and journalist Aileen Hickey and Patricia Murray, who's a work psychologist with the Health and Safety Authority. You're both welcome.
Thank you for being here.
So, Aileen, often the easiest part of a job is actually the work. It's all the other stuff that we're talking about that can be really tricky, can't it?
100%. I mean, I've worked in various workplaces over the last 30 years and I've come across various behaviours that are kind of gobsmacking. I mean, I suppose the most obvious one, and you just touched on it there, is kind of the stealing, for want of a better word, of lunches or drinks or anything from the communal work fridge or the communal work kitchen. So I've been in practically every workplace I've ever worked in. Actually, there's been an issue at some stage with people taking other people's lunches or other people's milk or other people's biscuits or whatever it is. And people actually get very territorial.
Yeah.
About their what they bring to work. And actually, I understand it because, you know, people spend a lot of time, I think, maybe in the evening, making whatever they're going to bring into work the following day. I mean, I even see my own kids at it. So they want, if they've made something and if they've put together a little bag of whatever they're going to be eating the following day, they want it. So I think that's very strange
that someone would go and steal somebody else's homemade lunch.
Well, so do I, but it definitely happens. Yeah. And I think particularly, you know, with things like drinks or milks or things like that. So I've seen in workplaces, you know, people regularly, you know, going to the fridge and taking other people's milk. Now, that's fine, if it's a general milk, but I've seen, you know, I think a lot of people these days are, you know, they drink almond milk or coconut milk or oat milk or whatever they're going drinking. So recently, only a few years ago, I worked in a particular workplace and one of my colleagues, she used almond milk. And it kept going missing. And she started, I think this was brilliant, but she started labelling it as breast milk.
Well, that kept people away. Probably kept people away, I say. Maybe not definitely.
Well, it definitely stopped it. I mean, and if it hadn't, it would have been very scary. I've also seen people, and this isn't an urban myth, I've seen people, I know people actually, who have gone to the trouble of, with their own homemade lunches, putting, if they're continually being nicked, they've gone to the trouble of putting laxatives in them.
What?
And then keeping an eye on whoever they might have their, whoever they think is doing it, to see, you know, what bathroom visits they're making. It's true. Yeah. Or chilies or things like, look, people, as I say, can get very territorial.
Absolutely.
And they can do drastic things. I will say the worst workplace behaviour that I've ever seen is, it was around the time the smoking ban was brought in, and I worked in a particular work environment, and obviously the smoking ban in workplaces was, you know, across the board, this particular workplace, the people who worked there, they were a little bit older and they were mainly male, and they were very they stuck to their guns in terms
diehards.
Of absolute diehards. So I shared a desk with this particular man who was maybe 20 or 30 years older than me, and he was a heavy smoker, so he continued to smoke in the workplace despite not being supposed to. Now, there was no ashtrays or anything. So what he would do is, we had a shared desk and a shared drawer, and he would, you know, smoke his fag, and then he would literally line up all the fag butts in the drawer like dead soldiers for us to share.
And that was your drawer as well?
Yeah, that was my drawer.
That's
particularly
horrible.
Yeah, it was particularly horrible.
That's not happening now. We've got to think that's not happening now. And if it is in your workplace and you're listening, 51551. Patricia, these stories can be funny and we've had a good laugh. But you see, when we got to the laxatives and the chilies in the lunch, you can see how it's veering into toxic and very problematic, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm shocked at some of those stories, I have to say, Aileen. And they haven't come across my desk, those kind of stories, to be honest with you. But there are loads of small toxic behaviours people do that other people find irritating, for sure. And obviously, at the Health and Safety Authority, we're not there to go in and regulate for behaviours, because that's just way too big brotherish. But we do take cognizance of the fact that small behaviours irritate people, and irritated people, what do? They irritate other people, and then they become maybe anti an establishment way, and they engage in other behaviours that can irritate a different person. So they can all have safety impacts, because if the communication between people breaks down because you don't like them or they did what you're saying there, Aileen, and you avoid those people, you need to communicate with them for a work related issue. So it can lead to safety issues, and it can also lead to bullying kind of behaviours, because they can escalate, somebody else sees it, somebody else joins in, then it becomes more strategic and less of a joke. And the phrase, I suppose, that would be better avoided is, I was only messing. Because I was only messing to you might mean not messing to the other person. Mm. So while people know and they're aware of good and bad behaviours, do they understand the reason why they're good and bad behaviours? Because it hurts another person, it offends them, it undermines them. Mm. And then do they practice good behaviour? So it's not really just about awareness.
It's just really tricky though, because, and I have Siobhan texting us here saying that, you know, she has somebody who brings in garlic sandwiches. Mm. Now, can every day, garlic on the sandwich. So you can imagine what's happening in the afternoon with the smell and the breath and all. Mm. But is there anything Siobhan can do about that?
Well, in terms of health and safety regulations, there is no regulation to look at that, no. But I would say, as a psychologist, which obviously is my background, and I'm a psychologist, and I would say, can you find a way to say to the person so that they understand what you're saying to them? If you say to somebody, you shouldn't be bringing in garlic bread, I hate that you do it, you know, you might get a bad reaction. Whereas if you first of all find out, is there a policy about eating at the desk in the workplace? Is there a genuine policy? Then we can pass it over to HR and they can send a reminder out.
Yeah.
Or else you say to the person, I really have an issue with the smell. Would you mind? Because it makes me feel nauseous. Is there anything we can do? I mean,
Aileen has no problem saying that.
I have absolutely no problem saying that. I was only dying to jump in there because I have a particular issue with tuna. I gag at the smell of tuna. Even the word tuna kind of turns my stomach. So any workplace that I've ever been in, I would say, more or less from the outset, you know, I'm not sure how you all feel about tuna here, but please don't bring in your tuna sandwiches or tuna in your lunchboxes, because, you know, it's just, I suppose, about being respectful to me, because I'm not allergic to it, and I'm not going to get, you know, some sort of an anaphylactic attack or anything, but I literally gag and I just can't stand the smell of it. So, you know, and people have... I've never had an issue since once I've said it.
You see, I think that the thing here is, and this goes across all behaviours, because let's face it, are there irritating people out there, or are there just people who are irritated a lot? There's probably both. Mm-hmm. So in between, we're trying to mitigate between being totally autocratic, which you don't want to do in an organisation, and giving people options. One of the things to do is try and explain to people why you find it difficult.
Yeah.
And really, most people are really glad to be told that. And then they'll go out of their way. Really, most people will to not
because
do it.
It all depends how you say it, doesn't it? I mean, the tuna thing, there's a way to say that, and you know, you can say it in a very clear and respectful way, or you can say, I hate the smell of that stuff you bring in every day, and it can that then can turn into a very toxic problem because of the way you communicated with that person.
Absolutely. And I think even saying it before they start doing it is better, because then you're not finger pointing, because they haven't
you're not
targeting anyone. Because I think the worst thing about any sort of passive aggressive behaviour in the workplace is where you're blaming a person, or if you're finger pointing, or you're, it's personality based. I mean, you know, I think, you know, you have to kind of separate behaviour, is my feeling, from a personality. So it's the behaviour you're having a problem with rather than the personality. Yeah. Now, having that said, you know, so I'm an absolute total hypocrite, because I'm very fond of boiled eggs, and I would regularly... So I'm inclined to bring around a bag of boiled eggs with me, and people have an issue with that.
Oh, well, I'm not surprised.
I was on an aircraft once and somebody got out lots of blue cheese out of the overhead. Yeah, and started eating.
Yeah, so it was warm.
Yeah.
Warm blue cheese.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, strong smells, I suppose. But if anyone says anything to me about the boiled eggs, I immediately, I put them away.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I do think a lot of it is about, you know, I suppose another thing that happens in workplaces, and again, a lot of workplaces, is maybe issues with someone with personal hygiene. And again, that's a very difficult issue, I think, to bring up, because, again, it's embarrassing and all the rest of it. But, you know, I have brought it up, actually. And again, there are ways to say it. You know, it's kind of like, oh, my God, it's very hot. I think we all need to,
Is that a colleague's job to do that, Patricia?
Not
or is it
really.
A HR
I was going to
function?
Say, that's something that you can pass over to HR. Because really, there are some things that are systematised. And health and safety is one of them, obviously. Mm-hmm. So there are people, safety reps, safety officers, and then there's HR to do the HR functions. And if something is actually a breach of a regulation or a protocol, then you're very well able to hand it over to HR and say, small issue with this, I can deal with it, or would you like to deal with it? And HR people will generally say, we'll have somebody else deal with maybe a facilities person or something.
Well, you might be in a very small organisation where there might be
there's
HR
no one size fits all in terms of behaviour at work.
Yeah. And is a personal hygiene issue, is that a breach of a work protocol?
Or? It isn't.
Okay.
No, I mean, so it's to do, but lots of HR issues are to do with interpersonal relating, clarifying for a person what the protocols are around you know, being in the workplace. So you can get around it a different way. It is a difficult one.
Yeah.
But when I'm coming at the bullying side of things for the Health and Safety Authority, what you can often end up with is a bullying complaint that has 50% of these irritants in there and then 50% of things that are actually targeting that person.
Yeah.
And so I often think, gosh, if these general things were dealt with first, it'd be a lot easier then to deal with the actual core issues. And sometimes a person sees things through the prism of the irritants rather than seeing them objectively and directly. So there is a serious side to this as well as, you know, just an irritant side.
Just on the milk problem, and I don't understand how this can't be sorted out with a kitty anyway for milk, but that's besides the point. But this person washes out an old milk carton and puts the fresh milk into it, but believes that nobody will touch the out-of-date
milk.
The expiry date has passed on it. That's another clever one.
Oh, that's a good one.
Clever? Yeah. Or very strange and oddly pathological.
You think?
Well, I mean, all that effort. I mean, I have come across complaints of bullying where people's lunches have been taken. So that is familiar enough. But I just think, even in flats where people share, I remember once somebody saying about some other flatmate robbing their butter. And the other person said, oh yeah, the way to rob butter is to just skim the knife off the top and down the side. So it keeps its shape. Okay. There's a way. This person thought it was quite rude just taking the butter out directly and letting it be seen to be gone. It was much better to do it in the mannerly way of just skimming the top so it looks the same.
This listener worked with a woman who would complain about my perfume and my hairspray, even the smell of my makeup. She claimed that it gave her a headache, and our texter ended up having to limit my choices to suit her, and I really resented it. See, that's the problem, isn't it?
Resentment is a big issue.
Yeah.
Small resentments that build up over time, and then you see and you hear that person in a different way because you started out with a small resentment.
Mm-hmm.
It really does colour our relationships at work. And as I said before, it does impact on the safety culture in the organisation and the general well-being culture.
Yeah, I'm not surprised about resentment building up in this next case. I used to work in an office where my colleague sitting behind me, wait till you hear this, used to clip his fingernails. It would fly everywhere, landing on our desks or hitting us in the back of the head.
Ooh.
And he didn't find anything wrong with it.
Well, actually, I've worked places where one particular place, not places, where somebody did that, but it was where their toenails, which is even worse.
Aileen, where are these places?
I mean, the law library. You said you're a barrister, so
oh my god, you're not supposed to be naming places. But you can Google my work history; you'll see where all these places are. But you know, I mean, I think also that what you have to kind of remember is that you can spend an awful lot of energy, I think, in, you know, on focusing on what other people do and, you know, disliking their behaviours instead of kind of, I suppose, maybe avoiding the conflict. And would that be right?
I think that if you just avoid conflict, you're going to build up resentment because it happens without you wanting to. It's kind of unconscious behaviour and you resent the person. It is better, in that case of the toenails, surely it is better to go to somebody in HR and say, mm-hmm, this is not a practice that any workplace would let happen.
But the toenail clipper will know that that was me or you who did that. So
to your point, pointing the finger, aren't you?
Sometimes you have to call it.
Yeah. I think in that situation,
toe gate.
Not good. My father worked with a man who used to bring in sandwiches made with the contents of the previous day's dinner, cabbage and all. That's fine as long as it didn't bother you, I suppose. And then going back to school, the bully in my class, says this listener, used to steal my sandwiches and cake every day until my mother discovered that he didn't like mustard. So she put mustard on everything, cake included, and it solved the problem. 50 years later, I still love mustard. Problem is if you didn't like mustard.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is if you didn't like mustard cake, which doesn't sound that
doesn't
appealing.
Sound great, but it did solve the problem, I suppose.
Yeah, so I mean, I think people, like you said about the expiry thing and the milk and like the person labelling it as breast milk, I think people will go to a lot of trouble.
Find a way.
And if they are particularly territorial, and as I say, I do think a lot of people spend a lot of time in the evenings making their lunches for the following day and, you know, putting their bag of goodies together for the following day. So, you know, they're right, I suppose.
Even if it's not about the food, I mean, I take your point totally, but it is about kind of respecting me, I think.
Yeah.
It's about like,
it's never
my lunch.
Workplace about respecting,
it's about respecting somebody,
somebody
else. So if other people are generally not behaving respectfully, I think that has to be called out.
Yeah.
And you can call it out in a way that's more constructive. Most people are decent and will understand, I was caught, gigs up. I mean, I didn't realise that I'm being seen to do this, because we get ourselves away with bad behaviour if we get away with it. We think it mustn't be that bad. So we kind of, recategorise it as okay behaviour.
Yeah.
So if someone calls us on it, we'll stop it.
I didn't realise I was stealing somebody's homemade lunch. We'll end with this one. All I can say, says this listener, that it's just as well those easily irritated people being spoken about here don't work on building sites because they wouldn't last until the 10 o'clock tea. We might do a whole other item on that. Aileen and Patricia, thank you both for coming in. The Gathering is next.
text 51551. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.